Don't limit yourself to only Chinese food on a Friday night. With Amazon.com, you can have anything delivered any day of the week that you want. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob as a podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robiswebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robiswebsite.com/AmazonCA. Everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestavino back here in the studio, and I am so happy to be back. I think I just may never go downstairs and leave the studio ever again. So, so nice to be back after a day on the plane with two kids, and I'm not going to go into that, but I'm just very happy to be back. And today is the day that we're going to be getting our makeup interview with Debbie. Of course, on Thursday, I was all set. I thought in my in-laws' basement, ready to go. And then I was having all sorts of problems with my laptop in terms of getting the call to go through. And so I ultimately missed my window to talk to Debbie on Thursday. CBS was good enough to reschedule for today when Debbie is doing her international interviews. And so I have a chance to talk with her, and we'll have her coming up here in just a bit. And of course, very late in the week for this, but I do have our This Week in Survivor History that I recorded with Jordan earlier. We'll be talking like it's Thursday, but this is the This Week in Survivor History segment that we recorded for the Thursday of last week. So you'll hear that after the Debbie interview. So also looking forward to getting back into the Survivor Know-It-Alls, not in person, back to normal, starting at 9:15 p.m. Eastern. Right after the episode number 10, coming up this Wednesday night. Make sure you don't miss it by subscribing to the podcast. Go to robswebsite.com/iTunes or search RHAP in your favorite podcatcher and make sure you don't miss it. All right, everybody, I think that we have Debbie here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Debbie, are you there?
Hi, Rob.
Debbie, what a pleasure it is to finally get a chance to talk to you. I apologize that it's taken me this long.
Oh, no problem. None at all. Good to hear from you, too. I enjoyed you while you were on.
Well, thank you very much, Debbie. And my wife really, she had a good run telling me every day that you were going to win the season. And so the only joy I got out of it was being able to tell her that she was wrong.
Aw, oh, now come on.
All right, well, Debbie, anyway, so I'm very excited to be able to talk with you finally because we have so many questions about this really crazy vote, which there were so many moving parts. So could you just tell us from your mind what was supposed to happen at this vote?
I was hoping that the girls would stick together. And when I say girls, and I mean this with all due respect, I include Joe, who is clearly not a woman. I just mean he was with us lock, stock, and barrel. And I don't like bullies or people who intimidate or, you know, men with too much testosterone and they need to keep the sheep in the herd tight. So, you know, I'm just for setting the score and not appeasement. So I was hoping that the girls would stick together, force the guy's hand, because there was no way, I felt, no way in hell Jason and Ty would actually put together their idols and use it. It was a stunt, I think, still, that they pulled. But I wanted the girls to take out Scott, because he is very intelligent and was the mastermind.
But at this point that you had said that you spoke with Joe and that you knew that there were going to be votes coming your way, Aubrey has that conversation with Joe, and you know that votes are going to be coming your way from the Women's Alliance. Did you try to change anything up going into that vote?
You know, in retrospect, I really didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm going to chalk that up to the fact that my brain did not have glucose going to it in sufficient quantity, and therefore the neurons were not making that synaptic gap leap. Because I certainly could have made more of a pitch. You know, Rob, what you didn't see, that tribal council was so wild. There was accusations of racism, and it was so crazy that I pretty much said goodbye to Joe there. So I think I was mentally and physically just at my end, unfortunately.
Can you talk about where Julia was in all this? Because that you were at least publicly a defender of Julia and said, hey, to me, I thought you just wanted Chinese food. We saw people like Aubrey and Sydney wanting to go after her. She does go back and tell the guys about a plan that was being hatched on your side of things. So where did you feel like Julia was when you voted?
Well, the reason Aubrey had a problem with Julia was because she went to vote, wrote down Julia's name, crossed it out, and wrote down Peter. She didn't even scribble it out. You could clearly read Julia.
Yeah.
And Aubrey always felt the heat because it had appeared that Neil had given her an idol when, in fact, he did not.
Mm-hmm.
So that was her thing with Julia. I had private conversations with Julia, and I knew how close she was with the girls. Look, Rob, when four girls can get together, discuss the Powerpuff Girls, their crush on Justin Bieber, blah, 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 they had a lot in common, and they were, quite frankly, sick of being bossed around. When Julia went over with to the guys for the reward challenge, somebody had to go, because Probst wasn't saying somebody else can sit it out. Somebody has to go. And after 10 minutes, the girl finally steps up to the plate, and I admired that she had the balls to step up to the plate and say, okay, look, I'll go. I'll muck it up. And she actually did make a good effort at mucking it up. What I hate is that she was so heavily criticized for it when, hey, I didn't see you step up to the plate and try to screw it up.
Oh, so she was trying to throw the reward challenge so you guys could win?
Yeah, she was. And she actually had a pretty good entangled for a while. But that's a really smart guy. He is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she did make a valiant effort, I felt, and that she was with the girls. Here's the irony. So, Aubrey, you trust Julia so little, you go to her to take me out. So, Aubrey was just looking for a sure thing and really needed to make sure that it wasn't her. And you know what? Quite frankly, I applaud her for that. I do.
Okay, this is something that I hope that you could help us understand, because us watching the show, we don't really know how much you guys all know about the Super Idol and how it works and how it can be played. And we saw where Jason and Scott are passing it off to Ty. We don't really understand exactly what the minutiae of, you know, how do you play it is. So in terms of that vote that we saw the other night, how much did you guys understand what the powers of the Super Idol were as you were voting? And how much was that scaring people in terms of like how Aubrey and Sydney are coming up with, hey, let's vote off Debbie because we don't know what could happen.
And I understand that when you look at the possibilities, it was factually a possibility that Jason and Ty combine idols and use it to save Scott. My reasoning was, what are the odds that two guys, one's been through a Vietnamese refugee camp, the other has an autistic child that's bankrupting him, they're really going to save a multimillionaire, you think?
Mm-hmm.
And I just, in my heart, my intuition was, no way in hell. Now, the beautiful thing that I love is, Jason, Ty voted for you last week. You gave him an idol. He accepted. And I wonder if he's going to give it back.
Yeah.
That's wonder. But I understand that the girls considered it a possibility, however remote, and took the sure way out by, if you will, throwing someone in their alliance under the bus. I get that.
You guys had this plan of, hey, if we split the votes, we can defuse the Super Idol. Why wasn't there enough? You said that Julia wanted to stick with the women. Why wasn't there enough inertia to be able to get that plan to happen? Because it seems like that would have been the point where you could have split that vote 3-3-3.
Well, Julia did stick with the women, at least the four core. So I would like to say that Julia did not flip with the guys. So I guess maybe that proves a point that I had, that she was loyal to the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't get them to do it because they were still, again, just so afraid of the Super Idol coming into play, which I hated, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And that could be used after the vote. That was their greatest fear, and that it would be either Sydney or Aubrey.
So if you guys did use the 3-3-3 split where it was tied, 3 votes for Jason, 3 votes Scott, and then whoever they put their 3 votes on, then would they still be able to use the Super Idol?
You know, now that I'm not exactly sure of, but then there would have been a revote, right?
Right.
And
but you guys still have 6.
Right. So they still have put together the Super Idol after a vote, a revote. I would imagine a 3-3-3 would have caused a revote.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't get the girls to do it.
Right, right. It comes down to lack of glucose, I think, on all of those things where we're having a hard time figuring out exactly how it's going to work when we've had breakfast and lunch today. And I can understand people are scared. So did you guys know who the guys were putting their three votes on? Because to me, I feel like if Sydney knows where the votes are going, I feel like then she's definitely on board with this plan because she doesn't want to get voted out.
Correct. And Aubrey had an equal strong feeling that it was still going to be her because her name popped up quite a bit in the past. So between the two of them, you know, go for a sure thing and take out one of us.
Yeah. Now, you saved Aubrey early on in the game, but back when Aubrey was sort of having a bit of a breakdown in the first couple days of the game, you took her aside, you took her under your wing, you nursed her back to health. Did you ever think back and say, boy, I wish I didn't help her get back up on her feet?
No, I'm not that kind of person. When Aubrey, and it was night one, it rained. It actually got very cold. Yes, 8 degrees above the equator, people, it can get cold. Wet plus cold equals total sucks. And, you know, so many elements hit her at once. And I do not pick on weak people. I just don't do it. And what went through my head was, if Aubrey were my daughter, I would want somebody with some kindness to say, I'm going to grab you by the shoulders. You are going to buck up. You did not come all this way to quit. Call the doctor, call Probst, have your chat, but you are going to promise me that you're going to come back here and you're going to have a talk with me. No, I don't regret it because I'm not out to destroy somebody's life. Can you imagine how she'd be if she would have really quit? Going home on day one, day two.
Yeah.
No, I'm just not that cruel.
You were a good tribe mate, and you helped her out there in that spot. Talk to me about Michelle and Julia, because that's another pair, seemingly to us, that we have a hard time sort of wrapping our heads around of really who is the leader there out of that pair. Did you guys look at Michelle and Julia as a pair while you were out there?
Yes, absolutely. Now, you know, you've played, and that's the beauty in talking with you. You understand a lot of details, you know, 99% of people listening are never going to understand. So you see who's sitting next to who goes off to get the coconuts together. So clearly it was Julia and Michelle were very close. You know, they had a Harry Potter thing to discuss, Justin Bieber, whatever. I think they were about 6 years apart,
yeah.
But the closest in age group there. They had similar personalities. They were both very pleasant, hardworking girls. I mean, Michelle would step up and try to do anything. So they were very nice, very pleasant, helpful, hardworking. You know, give it a go. I'm gonna try. And I don't think I ever heard the two of them complaining. So yeah, it was clear that they were a tight pair.
You were also a tight pair with Joe through all of the time that you were together with him in the game. But to us, again, at home, it seems like we don't see a lot of Joe. We don't really know what he's doing. Do you feel like, was Joe really a player out there, or was he just like a loyal vote that you felt like that you could trust that you had in your pocket?
You know, of all the opinions going on out there, I probably respected Joe's the most. The man was a workhorse. Maybe next to Sydney, I'd say Joe was in the best physical shape. He wasn't a drag along. He wasn't what people derisively refer to as a, what do they call the female equivalent of a goat? I don't know. But, you know, he had years of just watching people and seeing their behavior. He was absolutely a player and had his own ideas. You just didn't see the discussions with him, you know, as much as I was privy to, but absolutely a player and essential when it came to maintaining fire. He built our shelter, me and him built our shelter, but it was largely Joe. The design was completely him. No, the man should not be sold short. He did better than people a third of his age.
Debbie, could you talk a little bit about some of the sabotage that you pulled off after what Scott and Jason and Ty were doing with the business with the fire and the machete and the axe?
Well, I said to the girls, you know, and this was probably not that smart in the game of Survivor, but in life, bullies come along, I don't care if you're picking on puppies, kittens, little kids, it is just my natural tendency to go and try to help the underdog. And, you know, part of the thing with Scott, he's a very intelligent man, but he's huge. He's a physical Goliath. And to pick on these women, look, men have testosterone, women have estrogen. It's biology. It's evolution. Guys tend to want to lead. And when the sheep step out of the herd, they've got to rush them back in. It was their way of keeping the women under control. And I just don't go for that crap. So I see their shorts.
All right. Well, Debbie, really nice to get to talk to you finally after all this time. You were so much fun to watch on the show. Would you ever be interested in doing Survivor again?
No. I'm too old, Rob.
You're too old. Wow. So you're retired? You're officially hanging it up, Debbie?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I think so. I am definitely retired.
Yeah, you know, maybe I'll swim the English Channel or something a little more noble. Maybe I'll just, you know, delve into chemistry and go for that Nobel Prize. Look, we didn't climb Mount Everest. You know, I didn't do anything spectacular. I didn't, you know, exonerate somebody on death row that was innocent. I mean, Survivor is a very, very cool game. But anybody that thinks it's a walk in the park and wants to criticize our play, you know, go try it yourself. But I'm glad I had the opportunity. It was, it truly was a memorable experience that I'll treasure.
All right, Debbie. Well, I look forward to hopefully one day getting to talk some more about the game with you. All the best, and hopefully get to see you at the finale.
Okay, very good, sir. Bring your wife. I want to say hello to her.
Okay. Take care, Debbie.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, there you have it, Debbie Winter, and you heard her. She says, that's it. No more Survivor. I feel like this is like one of those political debate shows, and I always like to compare this to, you know, like a Meet the Press or something like this. It's like, all right, are you saying that you won't run? Are you saying under no circumstances, that under any conditions, no matter what might happen, you are not running for president? No? Okay. All right. So I don't know exactly what we got. I think that was like, I think I'm not playing anymore, but again, We'll see maybe if we are going to be the ones on the receiving end of
total blindside.
So we'll see about that. All right. So coming up next, I'm going to play for you This Week in Survivor History that I recorded with Jordan earlier this past week. And then we'll come back and close it all out before we send you on your way. All right, everybody, let's bring in a man who I had the great pleasure of seeing in person once again at the latest Live Know-It-Alls in New York. He is the creator of This Week in Survivor History. He is Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. I had a great time last night. Great time hanging out with all the patrons and all the survivors that were there. So really, really fun time, like the Know-It-Alls always are. So are you ready to go? You psyched for This Week in Survivor History this week?
Oh, always. I wake up every morning and it's either only 6 more days to This Week in Survivor History, only 5 more days to This Week in Survivor History, only 4 more days to This Week in Survivor History. And then, you know, the countdown just like flips back over at the top of the week.
Yeah, I experience the same thing every single day.
As do many of the listeners, of course. And that's what we're here to do, This Week in Survivor History. Of course, This Week in Survivor History is sponsored by our friends over at the Arrow Cart by Wix, which is the greatest thing that you can have around your house to be lifting and hauling things all over the place. With the Arrow Cart 8-in-1 all-purpose carrier from Works, heavy loads are easy to lift and haul because it's like having a wheelbarrow, a trailer mover, and a dolly all in one. And Jordan, not a dolly Neely.
No, and I think I needed an Arrow Cart to take me back to my cousin's apartment last night. I was so tired after all the
That is not a recommended use. That is not something that you could see on works.com where you can see all the different things that Arrow Cart can do. That's WORX.com. That is not a recommended usage, but with two oversized wheels, even awkward loads stay balanced. So you never have to strain your back. And with it, patented turbo lift technology, making even 200 pounds will feel like just 17. with the Arrow Cart by Work. So go to arrowcart.com, enter promo code RHAP at checkout to receive free shipping. That's Arrow Cart, AeroCart.com, and receive free shipping at checkout. Okay. Jordan, what do you have in store for us this week?
All right, so we're going to go back to one of the funniest seasons in Survivor history. We're going to go back to Survivor Panama, Exile Island.
Of course.
This is 10 years ago, April 13th, 2006.
Wow, so 10 years ago this year, Survivor Panama, what was going on?
Okay, in Survivor Panama, the main issue that we had is with Shane Powers.
Okay.
And the issue he was having was with, unfortunately, his groin region.
Chafing.
Yes, there was some chafing going on. And the quote that started this whole two-minute scene is Shane saying, "I have an issue with my penis."
Yes.
Seven of the greatest words spoken in Survivor history.
If you say so.
So luckily, though, you know, in Survivor Koh Rang, when somebody has a medical emergency, they have to get medical out. They have to get Dr. Rupert. But on this season, we had a nurse who was playing the game. We had Suri. So she was able to take care of him. She was kind of like the Dr. Joe or the Dr. Rupert or the Dr. Ramona out there. And she was able to diagnose him with a funky thing going on.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty useful to have a trained medical professional out there to diagnose those problems.
And especially when you have it, Suri, who just narrated the scene perfectly through confessionals and then also telling Shane that he just had a case of diaper rash.
Yeah. No, her reaction on that is pretty priceless in terms of how she handles everything. She really did do a great job with it.
And these are, I mean, at least in my opinion, the two best characters of this season. Just to have this little scene, you know, when half the tribe was away on a reward was fantastic. And also just seeing Shane standing there with his shirt and just a big blur underneath his shirt is one of the funniest visuals from that season.
Yeah, he's got like the Winnie the Pooh thing going on.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't think Winnie the Pooh would have been able to hang with Shane in terms of all the entertaining things he did on that season.
No, probably not. Why, do you find Winnie the Pooh to be a particularly entertaining character? Are you a big fan of his?
Not particularly. I mean, he has a lot of friends. He probably has more friends than Shane did in Exile Island. But I'd take Shane Powers over Winnie the Pooh on Survivor any day.
When's Winnie the Pooh's second chance?
Winnie the Pooh's second chance. I don't know. Maybe if Christopher Robin is casting the season, then he'll get me. He hasn't even had a first chance on reality TV yet.
Sonia Christopher Robin. All right. What else is going on in this week in Survivor history?
All right. The other episode that we are going to talk about this week in Survivor history is Survivor Karamoan. And this is 3 years ago. This is April 10th, 2013. And last night on Survivor Koh Rang, we had, of course, a lot of crazy things going on at Tribal Council involving the idol. So I was really happy to be able to bring this one back. This was the hold up bro moment when Malcolm was able to take Reynolds' idol at Tribal Council, even though he already had his own when Reynolds was about to play it for himself.
Yes, and that really set into motion then the following week, which I compared last night to what happened at the most recent Tribal Council, where you have these three guys fooling around with idols. And yeah, I do think that this is sort of like the most exciting moments here in Survivor Karamoan, like these couple of weeks.
Yeah, that mid merge area, like, you know, after Corinne goes home. This is actually in this episode, Michael Snow goes home.
You know what? I take it back, because then, you know, this is a good Tribal Council. The Andrea blindside is good. The whole thing with the Brenda blindside and the family visit is good. Mm-hmm. So actually, I've said, even in the Evolution of Strategy, that I think Survivor Karamoan has an underrated post-merge.
I would agree with that. And I think definitely not one of my favorite pre-merges. But
Maybe the worst pre-merge.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Of all time.
Yeah, I think you could be right there. Shamar is horrible. And, you know, there's just not too much going on. And then
there's hardly a watchable episode in the pre-merge of that season. Maybe the premiere. Outside of that, you got like six really tough to get through episodes in a row.
Nothing with Brandon Hans excited you there? No, none of the back massages?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. But underrated post-merge.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really like, you know, it's kind of amazing that Malcolm was able to do this. Reynolds was definitely on the hot seat. It turned out that, you know, he only got one vote, which was actually Malcolm's vote. And Malcolm calls it a throwaway vote, but for all he knew, it could have been the one that sent Reynolds home. But I really like, though, that Malcolm knew that there was a very good chance that he was in trouble. The votes were originally supposed to come to him. Andrea was getting a little bit concerned that Malcolm was going to play an idol for himself. And actually, if they stayed with the original plan and voted for Malcolm, Andrea had three votes, she would have been the one going home. So by her, you know, her alliance was accusing her of being paranoid, but by her flipping the vote to Michael, it actually saved her for a couple more weeks.
Yeah. Had a great chat with Andrea this morning. Got to see her when I went to go visit her at People Now, is what her show is called. And she is doing great, Jordan.
Oh, great. Yeah. I mean, she's
on her way. She's doing great.
Two-time player, had some great seasons. And I think she's sort of graduated where, you know, maybe her Survivor days are behind her. But, you know, you never know.
Okay. All right, Jordan, anything else?
No, that's everything we have for this week. And again, it was just so much fun, you know, meeting Jeremy Collins yesterday and, you know, Ethan Zahn was there, which was incredible. So really, really a good time. I can't wait for the Know-It-Alls next year. And I can't wait till, you know, I was trying to convince other people yesterday, you know, that you got to go to Run It Up Reno. It's going to be a great time there too with the live Rob Has a Podcast show.
Were you recruiting people?
I'm trying to. I don't know if I convinced anybody, but who knows?
All right. If you want to come and take Jordan Kalish's money in Reno, go to runitupreno.com.
Yeah. I am a very, very, I would say, inexperienced poker player. So yeah.
He is a mark, not unlike Ty's chicken.
Yes, I am just like Mark the chicken. I should bring a chicken with me just to have on my shoulder to like look at the other people's cards.
Yeah, I'm sure that. Well, just like Garrett wanted people to bring him chicken and vegetables. Maybe that's what he wanted, a chicken to sit on his shoulders that would tell him what cards other people had.
Yeah, you know, but the thing is, though, if I wanted to be like Garrett at the table, I wouldn't allow any strategy talk, and that would get really, really boring.
Yeah, I think so. All right, Jordan, great job. Follow Jordan Kalish on Twitter. He's at Jordan Kalish. Have a good week, buddy.
Yeah, you too. Have a nice day.
All right, only six more days to go until this week in Survivor History now.
Next week in Survivor History.
Yeah. All right. Take care, buddy.
You too.
Bye. Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. Present day Rob is back. And my voice is probably a little better after you heard that. So for those of you guys who are still here, just want to say, first off, thank you very much. You guys are true fans of Rob's podcast, and I greatly appreciate that. And on top of that, we are going to have a great week of podcasting coming up. Shireen is going to be coming here in person on Thursday. Very much looking forward to that. We'll talk to the next person who got voted out of the show. And then we're going to be doing the voicemails with a good friend of mine, Scott Green. You've heard him on RHAP before. He is a big game show fan. He recently attended a taping of The Price is Right. And you could see him in at least the audience coming up here on Thursday. If you want to check that out, check your local listings for Thursday's Price is Right. And then he will be talking with us later on that day on the voicemails podcast. And maybe a good primer for Survivor Price is Right coming up in May. All right, looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Enjoy Survivor, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.